Time again for Tony Talk, our weekly visit with the Hall of Fame manager, Tony La Russa, right here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, presented by the fine folks at Marie Davila Senior Living. And what a great tribute this week. In honor of 9/11, they had the fountains out front, a combination of red, white, and blue, as the March to the Arch went past Marie Davila. Greenville University, Victory Men's Health, Triad Bank, and Be the Match, the great organization helping save lives. We bring in the Hall of Fame manager, Tony La Russa, with us. And Tony, I mentioned 9/11 and the tributes that we saw in St. Louis. I'm trying to remember back as a manager with the Cardinals, you guys would have been in Milwaukee. And Jim Edmonds talked a little bit about it this week, too, that there was just sort of this great period of unknowing and what to do next. Remind me how that played out for you guys in Milwaukee.
Well, the background was, you know, we had gotten off to a slow start in Houston and had gone really well. So, you know, people talk about comebacks in 11, but in 2001, if you check it, you know, sometime around, you know, like early August or something, we were 8 or 9 games behind Houston. And by the time we got to September 11th, you know, we had really closed some ground and we had gotten in contention. So, you know, it's like everybody else that morning, you know, would have been at 9 o'clock there, East Coast, so 8 o'clock. The first, you know, inklings of it came, you know, I got up really like to turn on the TV to get the day started. And, you know, once, you know, everything that transpired, everything was up in the air, up in the roar, and Major League Baseball immediately canceled the games. And, you know, flights were being really curtailed as well. So the arrangement was made from St. Louis that we would take a bus immediately back from Milwaukee to St. Louis, and then we were just on hold, trying to piece it all together. I mean, you know, playing baseball was the least of our concerns. It was really trying to imagine what the heck happened and what the consequences would be and so forth. And then we resumed play, as you know, in a really memorable day where we were home and the you know, one of a kind Jack Buck was asked to write something, and he wrote something that was just absolutely perfect and beautiful, and we played the game.
Yeah, a lot of folks, I think in St. Louis every year, the memories sort of trickle back to Jack Buck, and I can imagine you sitting in the dugout that night. I don't know if he said to you, hey, here's what I'm going to say, kid, when I get out there, but I nobody was surprised that he was as eloquent and as just perfect timing, I would say, perfect pitch. Did you have any clue what he was going to say?
That's an interesting question because, you know, I've said many times how fortunate I've been. For example, with being around Red for 16 years was one of the, you know, best pieces of luck any human being, especially a baseball person, could have. Well, Jack knew that I was a reader. And over time, he would give me, like, a copy of the rough draft of some of his great speeches. He wrote some, not speeches, but he also wrote some wonderful poetry that's been put in a book. So the afternoon that he came in to resume play, he read me what he had he was going to say later that night, and he ended up giving me a copy. So, yeah, I was aware, and I thought, you know, you got to stay with it for a minute, and you realize how he rhymed things and the significance. And I think the more you listen to it, actually, the more impressed and meaningful it becomes.
LJ, Legendary Jack, as Tony called him for many years. I know Cardinal fans got the news last week, the passing of Chris Duncan, and we talked on this show about his addition in 2006 and the impact he had on that team. So I went back and I was looking at some of those numbers, and it was 22 home runs in just 90 games, and I believe it was all of baseball. He was third in home runs per at-bat. It was David Ortiz, Ryan Howard, and then Chris Duncan, just an unbelievable grouping there. That was the baseball contribution, but I know you knew him beyond that as Dave's son and as a draft pick of the Cardinals, and we all know the battle was a long one here for Chris, but if you could, just share your thoughts on Chris, maybe the person more than the player.
Well, just the player, you know, you want to make sure that it gets proper credit and due because, you know, I had not seen that ranking with those other, with Ortiz, what was the second guy you mentioned?
Well, it was Ortiz and Howard, the only two who had more homer, like the per at bat ratio, than Chris did that season.
Right. So, I mean, that is a remarkable stat just to show, but not only, like you're talking about his importance in getting us into the playoffs and then winning the World Series. But, you know, Chris signed out of high school. He's a draft first-round draft choice. And a lot of organizations, they run into this thing where if you sign a high schooler and you see him for 2 or 3 years, you know, you start evaluating him against college guys that you sign for the first year when they've had 3 years of college. And Chris was being kind of downgraded a little bit because, yeah, he was tall and gangly, you know, and he was just growing into the athleticism of his body. But as he got older and got more, you know, more agile and more coordinated, he had this tremendous power. But the thing I remember the most was managers like a Mark John would say that he was one of the best team players that he had ever been around. He was all about team. He was a tough competitor. And he had the knack for, you know, he was very tough. He had no fear at the plate. So he got a lot of big hits. And I guess my point is, had he been able to stay healthy, he would have had a legitimate major league career that had high production. It's just unfortunate he got hurt so much.
Yeah, and high
as a person. I mean, everybody talks about it as a teammate, and, you know, he was the life of every team he was on because he had this gift of having fun. It reminds me a lot of Lance Berkman. You know, Lance would be fun in the clubhouse and away on restaurants, but when it came time to play the game, he was 100% serious.
I think you had the line after the 2006 World Series. Everybody's celebrating. You said, "I'm not responsible for Chris Duncan or Tyler Johnson and what they may or may not be doing." He'd certainly had a zest for life, didn't he? It was, and that team winning it all, he would have been about 25 at that point, and really had paid his dues. Probably not the easiest thing to be drafted by the organization where your dad is a prominent figure like Dave Duncan, because no matter what you do, people are going to say, "Oh, that's Dave's kid. Oh, they promoted him. That's Dave's kid." I would think that added to the, I don't know if burden's the right word, but added to the challenge to get to the big leagues.
Well, for sure. It's part, you know, part of the burden and pressure, you know, because your dad is such a, you know, historic, legendary figure himself. And not only that, but you wanted to, you know, you want to have your own career, and you're getting special attention because you're Dave's son. So it was a pressure, and that was one of the things. As he settled down, he was just over-trying and trying to do too much. And that's, you know, if the coach, you much rather have a guy that tries too hard, and you have to give him some experience so he can start relaxing and being himself, as opposed to a guy just not into it, and you're always trying to kick him in the butt to get more energy. So, you know, Chris was that kind of guy who pressed early. And the other thing is, I think it's worth mentioning, remember, he was a first baseman, and we had Albert. So he got called up without any work in spring training. He played the outfield, you know, and he missed a few balls. But, you know, his defense sometimes got more attention than the offense. And that way he's upset because, you know, he made a lot of the plays. He did miss some, but his production offensively way overwhelmed whatever issues he had defensively. And that was just because he hadn't worked on it.
Well, and he turned that into part of his self-deprecating humor, became real popular here in town on radio on the ESPN affiliate in St. Louis. And he would mock himself more than anybody else about dropping a ball. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know that he had, I think from a media standpoint, we didn't deal with him a ton, but he had a great personality and became very popular with the listeners. And it may be part of his too. I know Dave is kind of a quiet guy. Did you see, it sounds like you said it with Berkman. I didn't realize that was part of Chris's personality.
Well, I didn't know, you know, I'm not in the clubhouse. So I knew that he was really popular and he had some wildness to him and he could have some fun. But what surprised all of us was, and Dave was the first to admit it, he just didn't know that Chris had the kind of outgoing personality that you need to have when you're, you know, speaking on radio and you're trying to get people entertained and interested, and you have to say things that make sense too. You know, Chris was a real remarkable broadcaster and talk show host, and all of his peers really give him credit, and that I don't think Dave or myself saw coming.
And then for your good friend Dave, it's beyond believable even what's happening. He lost his wife. He lost one of his sons to this hideous disease. How is Dave holding up?
Well, he's the strongest guy. I've said this before. You know, I signed in 62, 63, so he goes out a long time. And Dave was a man before a lot of us were, well, we were teenagers. And Dave is just, he's just this remarkable guy with, he really doesn't get nervous. I mean, he was just a very tough very competitive, and both his boys, Shelly and Chris, are exactly out of that bloodline. I think, you know, you give Janine credit because Janine was so vivacious and full of fun and personality. I think that's where Chris got it. But Dunk, you know, we can't even imagine, you know, to be there and, you know, watch his wife go through the suffering and pass away, and then to see the son at 38 years old do that. It was very difficult. But, you know, he's realistic, and we talked, and the quality of Chris' life there at the end was, you know, was just not worth enduring. So, you know, the time we're talking Thursday, so a few days from now, Saturday, there is a service in Tucson that a bunch of us are going to fly in to honor him and celebrate him.
Yeah, we know locally when it got announced, the Brad Thompsons and Jim Edmonds of the world that had broadcasting position, it was hard for them to even talk about it for those couple of days. Baseball talk with Tony La Russa, the pennant race, still a tight one in St. Louis, trying to fend off the Cubs, fend off the Brewers. If a team is struggling, the Red Sox still technically alive. How do you know from a management position, at what point do you say, all right, we still got to look a little bit at next year, but we're still in it this year? When do you make that determination?
Well, it's really a case-by-case, Martin, and I think you have to look at some of the factors. You know, one would be the quality of the opponents ahead of you. In this case, here in the East, you know, Oakland, Cleveland, and Tampa Bay, you know, all three of those teams have really maintained a high level of effort and winning kind of effort. So, you know, without us being able to get hot, except for like brief periods here or there, I mean, recently we lost five in a row. You know, it's part of it's the, you know, what do you need to do to get past, in our case, 11, you know, Atlanta had a good team, but they got caught at the wrong time, so we only had to pass one team. So that's part of it. And the other thing, though, I think is more important is you have to make a judgment about how much it means to your club to dig really deep here. It is in September to try to get to October because it really, you know, it's a long season, and you have to be really excited about October baseball to get that adrenaline pumping. And I think that's one thing clearly that the Cardinals feature. They are going out there with a lot of energy. They really want it, and I think that really helps you make your decision. But sometimes, you know, clubs just, you know, they wear out, and it's just, you know, it's not like they want to embarrass themselves, but they just, you know, they just don't have that well of energy to dig into.
I know folks around here heard the news about Dave Dombrowski getting let go. Shocking, to say the least, after the Red Sox win the World Series last year, the president of baseball operations with Boston. And then people say, hey, does Tony want to keep going? I said, absolutely. Is that a fair answer, that you want to continue in the game as long as you can?
Yeah, I know. I don't know anything else. I don't want to retire. I love the game. I think there's a lot that, you know, to be offered to the game in a lot of different capacities, whether you're a scout or player development or someone like myself with some experience. So as long as somebody feels like the experience can be helpful, you know, I want to be a part of it. The situation in Boston was very difficult. You know, there's been a lot of talk about it because Dave was there for 3 years. They finished last, a two straight year. He comes in, they win three times. But, you know, there is I think part of it's just, you know, there's a little bit, I don't know if the confusion is a word, but there are issues up at the real top about, you know, what's the best way to go forward, you know, and you see a lot of clubs going mathematical, and they're really not saying very much about what the value of scouting is, or player development, or even the guys downstairs making decisions during games. And that wasn't the case of Boston, because I think Boston still values scouts and player development. But I think, you know, according to the, you know, the owners just talked that they, you know, Dave gave Dave a lot of credit for what he did, but they see a little different direction, and that's, they have a prerogative.
Is the game changing that much? Or, I mean, in terms of the pressure to, like, not only win, but to repeat, to do it again, or is it societal where everything is instant gratification, got to do it right now? Do you think it's more society, or is it more specific to the game?
It's like this evolution of what's the proper place for either side. One side is you have all these formulas that are coming up. They're producing these numbers, these percentages, which are very helpful in a lot of ways. But at the same time, when you play an actual game, it's not a percentage. You know, you're talking about actually creating the numbers. And then on the side, you have traditional, which is, you know, a scout will look at somebody, or player development will take somebody and make them better, or forecast them. And one of the big things about Major League Baseball is a lot of coaching goes on nowadays. So you can tweak a guy I keep talking about, McGuire, during the playoffs. You know, he gave a tip to Freese and to Alan Craig. There was a difference maker. So I just think that right now there's a real evolution and there's a balance that hasn't been struck sometimes, overbalanced towards metrics. I think very much more often than overbalanced towards traditional. And the people in charge are trying to figure it out. And I know where I stand. I think it is a balance. You just got to use both, but you certainly can't disrespect either side.
You can always communicate with the show. It's TonyTalkQuestions@gmail.com. Our weekly visits with the Hall of Famer. Next, your questions for Tony. Be the Match, a great organization, now a proud sponsor of Tony Talk, our weekly visits here with the Cardinals Hall of Fame manager. Be the Match has gotten a lot of attention of late because Layla, the Blues superfan, has gotten a lot of attention. And her story, you know what it is, needed a bone marrow transplant. Here's what takes place. Every 3 minutes in the United States, someone is diagnosed with a blood cancer. They turn to the family first, but 70% of the time, the family isn't a match. In the case of Layla Anderson, the super fan for the Blues, she needed a bone marrow transplant. They went to the registry. That's what Be the Match is all about. They have the donor registry. She got the call. Her family found out she had a match. She had a donor. It saves lives. Be the Match is really a community. It's donors, it's volunteers, it's healthcare professionals, it's researchers. You can get involved, bethematch.org/give. You can make a donation so they can continue the great research they're doing, helping save lives. That's what Be the Match is all about. We appreciate them being a sponsor on Tony Talk. Since 1960, serving the families of St. Louis, Marie Davila Senior Living. At the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the beautiful fountain greets you for the 22-acre campus. Full range of senior living. Independent living at the Villa Estate. Skilled nursing, memory care. They have it all. Spacious dining room, salon, transportation around town, exercise and pool, private rooms, hands-on care. You're not a resident at Marie Davila. You are considered a guest. Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan and their sons live on site. It is family run, and it has that family feel. You've heard Tony and I talk about how this was home for the legendary Red Shandings for many years. He was also on the board and helped the original owners start Marie Davila back in 1960. MarieDavila.com. We suggest you go online and schedule a tour.
It's Tony La Russa for my friends at Victory Men's Health, where they can help you be you again. If you're dealing with low T, ED, or vitamin deficiencies, make sure to see my friends at Victory Men's Health. They now have two locations, O'Fallon, Illinois, and the new addition in Town and Country. Both offices feel more like a man cave than a clinic. So get yourself back in the game by setting up an appointment at victorymenshealth.com.
One of our great sponsors on Tony Talk, Triad Bank, the neighborhood-friendly bank located in Frontenac on Clayton Road. They're just west of Lindbergh. Real easy access off Highway 64, get to Lindbergh, and you are there. Founded in 2005, wide range of commercial and personal banking services. And how about this? They actually have people behind the counter, people there ready to greet you, ready to help you. Business owners looking to expand, talk to the bank based in St. Louis. Those decisions are being made here. How frustrating is that? You're trying to get a loan for your business, and the decision is made in New York or Los Angeles, not with Triad Bank. You can find out more at triadbanking.com. Home equity lines of credit, 5-star rated bank, $360 million in assets. Check them out, triadbanking.com. Less than an hour from St. Louis, it's Greenville University. Founded in 1892, this liberal arts institution offers pre-med, offers online student involvement. Yeah, that's right. They'll get involved in local businesses, immersed in the community, a great little town of Greenville, Illinois, less than an hour from St. Louis if you're looking to get away for college, but maybe don't want to go too far. It's right up the road from St. Louis. Great professors, really a great experience. Kids involved in the athletics, but again, everybody is really immersed in what they're doing on the campus at all times. Greenville.edu for more information about this great institution.
All right, this is a insider question. My radio colleague, Frank Cusimano, said he'd love to know Tony's take comparing potentially what the Cardinals have now, Flaherty and Hudson, two dynamic young arms. And when you were here with the Cardinals, of course, it was Alan Bennett, it was Matt Morris. Any comparisons that are fair? And how special is that when an organization, obviously health is a factor, but when you have those arms coming along and then they make it to the big leagues and sort of the impact they can have for the whole franchise?
That's a great question, because that's the goal that every organization wants, whether it's a position player, starting pitcher, now a reliever. You want to have somebody that when they get there, they have impactful, difference-making production. And if you can get there at a young age, then obviously the organization benefits, because the young player for at least a couple, 3 years really does a lot of pluses for your budget, where you can use money to go in other directions. So I think, I see them on TV. I see them in person a little bit. I mean, they're for real. I think a lot of credit goes, they were not done. I'm sure metrics had some part of it, but they were scouted. And they were developed in a system that coached them to move up rapidly, and now they're at the big leagues, pitching very well. So I go back to, and you mentioned Alan Bennis, is, one of the big regrets I have, Alan and Rick Ankiel. Alan stayed healthy. Alan would have been a star for years. So would have Rick. Matt Morris, he got over his injury and came back and had a wonderful career. So producing your own is the number one way that teams try to be successful. And Cardinals have done very well with not just those two guys, but other young pitchers and DeJong and, some of the young players they produced.
And now a question that dates back, I think, to the free agent market we saw last year that was real quiet. Does Tony think that a compensatory pick is still a good idea? In other words, teams are afraid sometimes to go after that free agent because it'll cost them a pick, which is interesting because Flaherty and Hudson both end up in St. Louis as compensation picks. It was Hudson because Hayward signed with the Cubs. It was Flaherty because Carlos Beltran went to the Yankees. Do you think they'll ever change that in baseball, and do you think it is a deterrent when guys are on the free agent market?
Well, you can't have a better answer than those two guys. I mean, it's definitely a factor. I think it's become more important every time. I don't think the coming negotiations, the basic agreement negotiations, there's a lot of talk. Even this year, the picks aren't exactly what they were when those two young guys were taken. They changed it quite a bit already dramatically. But in an era where you value young players, whether they're pitchers or position guys, and you value them, their talent and their productivity and what that can mean, not just for wins, but for the budget, it is very, very important.
All right, and time for a little Redbird Roulette. Another member of your 2006 championship team, his name came up on radio the other day, and Scott Spezia was here for a brief period, but boy, he really gave you guys a jolt. I mean, it seems like it had a flair for the dramatic hit. What's your blink when I say Scott Spezia?
I think about Scott that had two magical moments, and you see them. We were just in Anaheim, and when they won in 2002, the Scott Spezia 3-run home run in Game 6, was the difference maker. That's the one that got them close, and they ended up coming back winning, and they won Game 7. And he did a very similar job for us. We had lost Game 1 of the National League Championship Series, and we were behind when he hit that triple to tie the game. And that was late in the game. If we had lost that game, down to it, it's very doubtful that we could have won 4 out of the last 5 games against the Mets. So I think Scott Spezia was a big-time clutch kind of player, good versatile skills. His career was interrupted time or two by availability. But he was a clutch guy. He also was fun. He was one of those guys that was fun to have around the team because he had a lot of life to him.
Tony Talk each week brought to you by Marie Davila Senior Living, Greenville University, Victory Men's Health, Triad Bank, and Be The Match. BeTheMatch.org for more information with them. Tony, thanks for the visit. Great insight on the life of Chris Duncan. Also, Jack Buck and the infamous speech. A little insider talk with him presenting it to you before he actually delivered it at Busch Stadium. Have yourself a great week.
Thanks a lot. Look forward to the next one.